Good afternoon and welcome to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with me, Dave Johnson-Rayner from Koi Sports, and my good friend and, sidekick, John Woodcock from Voluntary Action Leicester.
There was lots of other words that went through my head there.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugly.
And welcome to the show.
Do you know what? It's really good to be back. There's been a more attractive person,
absolutely,
to co-hosting the last few weeks, and I got to listen to the radio show for the first time ever because I wasn't on it.
No, and I think, to be honest with you, John, I think it's just about missing you, maybe
just about.
Because Vanessa, and I'd like to put on record my thanks to Vanessa for the last couple of shows. You know, she's brilliant. Tiger Law,
absolutely spectacular. The last couple of weeks have been absolutely brilliant. And like I say, I got to listen to it because I don't like listening to the sound of my own voice. So the opportunity to listen into the radio show and not listen to me yawping on.
Yeah, you know how I feel now then, don't you? We sit here and chat. But no, seriously, it's good to have you back, mate. It's good to have you back. So what have you been up to?
Well, today is the first time that we are doing this show together in the same room.
Crazy.
Eh?
And that's, what, 5 months, 6 months?
May, wasn't it? Was it May? I don't know. We've had too much fun.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it's first time ever we're actually recording it together. So that's an achievement.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We've managed to get together in the same room.
No alcohol involved either, alcohol. which is weird.
My good lady wife made you a coffee, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. Brilliant. So what have you been doing with yourself over the past month? Anything exciting?
Just busy with doing my thing with Val.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of networking, lots of business development. Putting training plans together, really just mapping out 2022. It's been fantastic. I got to go and see Memphis.
Yes.
The great charity chance. Memphis. They got their Queen's Award for voluntary services.
Amazing.
And I'm not wearing it today, but I've got a little sort of badge, the Queen's Award badge. Yeah. Because I do some volunteering for them, and I will be out very soon delivering Christmas presents on their behalf.
I love what they do.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember from last Christmas, actually, across social media, seeing all the stuff where people are out delivering presents on behalf.
And that
what a brilliant idea.
I get a great feeling for the stuff that I do within sort of, charity world anyway, which is minuscule compared to what other people do, the opportunity for me to provide development and innovation and training via the online and sometimes in person to help those charities develop and move forwards is spectacular. But honestly, the greatest feeling in the world is taking a Christmas present out and hand delivering it to a young individual who is disabled, and their eyes light up.
Mm.
And why wouldn't you want to volunteer to do that?
There's no comparison, is there?
No, none whatsoever. Yeah,
absolutely amazing. And I think it's right that we give a shout out to Liam DC.
Absolutely.
He does a great job. It's a
fantastic job, and I think that some of the stuff that they've been doing, especially over the during lockdown and more recently, and some of the events that they've managed to put on in the hub that they've now got at Memphis is brilliant, really, really good. And then we've got coming up on Friday, we've got the Focus Charity Christmas quiz,
nice,
which is being hosted by Chris Kane,
right,
from Kazoo IT, who is an elite champion
in
Core Sports.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. I'd be rubbish at the pub quiz, but it's all about the taking part and raising money, isn't it?
Nothing to do with the bar being 2 foot away from you, because I know where you'll be sitting, Mr. Woodcock.
It'll be a good day. So yeah. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, we're preparing for 2022, which is a beautiful link, by the way, to today's guest. That's absolutely amazing.
It's like I've written it down.
Absolutely. Now, we're looking at our membership package for 2022 and through 2021, we've been, every member that joins us, we've been investing a percentage into Sports Trader, another brilliant charity that does amazing work for young people across the country, run by Lance Haggith.
Mm-hmm.
They are still up, our chosen charity for 2021. But when we look at what we're doing in the growth of Koi Sports to achieve more in the way of reinvestment into the grassroots sports sector to deliver positive social change, we're now looking at ramping up our activity. That includes going global, which is fab. Koi Sports Africa, Koi Sports Asia, underway, and working across the other continents as well. And one of the guests that you weren't available for from Reach My Street, Chris Lomas, Hope For. That's gutted. Another great charity.
Absolutely gutted I couldn't do that.
That's taken us into Europe as well. And there's some very exciting news. So Vanessa from Tiger Law, Bev Sankey from Arbon,
mm-hmm.
and Sally Pierce from Foundation Training.
Good friend.
Have all been donating to Reach My Street.
Yep.
Now known as Hope For, with a view to supporting orphans and stopping children and people trafficking over in Moldova. And those of you that listen to the show will know that that's a real problem over there.
Yeah.
But both Vanessa and Bev are sponsoring a football team from a different village in Moldova through a reinvestment of their membership fee, which then allows, through that funding of that sponsorship, for Chris to do more in the way of supporting Reach My Street.
Love it.
And the orphanage and everything else that I've just mentioned. So really, really good. So that's what I've been doing.
Nothing much then.
No, not really much at all. We've also been doing the gardening project still with Generation Youth, which is brilliant. It's kind of coming to an end, this project, but it's been amazing. And I want to give a shout out to the special education needs students who work with Generation Youth and who have been working with me in that entrepreneurial pathway of starting a mini business, a micro business, non-academic. But we've gone out, we've met the customers after promoting and marketing it and getting inquiries. And then we've gone and done the gardening work. Two lads, Alf and Ellis, helped me remove a huge bush from a huge garden by hand with a pair of clippers and our teeth. Quite amazing. Quite amazing, really, how we managed to do that. But they've been superb, and a big shout out to those lads. You know, it's not easy for them, but they've done an amazing job. Absolutely amazing. So, yeah, that's what we've been after. Really, that's what we've been doing, really. Just having lots of fun and just making a difference.
Because you know? I spoke to you the other week about when, because you were out and about. I think you were coming back from one of the jobs.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't think you could speak very well.
No.
I think you were a little tired. But you're saying how well that they, you know, they've all, you know, coming out of themselves a little bit more proactive and a bit more talkative. And, and you know, me and you've had this conversation before, right? You know, I think that our education system in the UK is broken and has been. This is coming from a guy who left school when he was 16 because it didn't fit. And unless you conform to being within the same size box that the education system basically says, well, that's it, you fit in that. And if you don't fit in it, then there's nothing we can do to help you, really, to a degree. It's all of those amazing kids that fall outside that box that need all of that support. And in reality, it's the education system that needs to be looked at, not everything else. And I think, you know, I'm friends with teachers. I think, you know, a large proportion of the teachers in the country probably would say the same sort of thing, but they have to abide by what's been told to them by the powers that be. And I it needs fixing massively. As to how that's going to happen, I don't know. I really, really don't know. Because it's just
too big for us, but you know, there's so many holes.
it's a massive, massive project. I mean, if you look at it from, you know, the government's point of view, you kind of go, well, the NHS needs mending. The education system needs mending. The infrastructure in the UK needs mending.
Where do we start?
We're all screwed.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, what else is there to do other than radio shows and have a gig on to speak to some amazing people?
Absolutely. That's why we do what we do, doing this, because I can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want you to, if I can, because we're looking at the time before we have to go to the commercial break. We've got 4 or 5 minutes. Is that the two lads that I mentioned, Alf and Ellis? Alf at 18, Ellis 14, soon turning 15. Alf has been taking the reins on leading Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And for Alf, that's not something he's really done before.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing job he's done. He's supervised him, he's managed him. And if you look at Ellis, he's followed instructions.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a really good job. Both of them have got their hands dirty. Now, for me, that's a huge step in their, mm-hmm. in their personal development. Whether they know it, appreciate it or not, it's the communication, it's the leading,
yeah.
It's also following instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to watch those two kind of develop and grow just reaffirms why I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I was speaking with Ellis. Ellis does he goes out and washes cars
mm-hmm.
to earn a bit of money, a bit of pocket money. And he and I were talking about, okay, so I think that's brilliant. So you're showing some entrepreneurial spirit there. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, let's have a look at this and use it as an opportunity to understand how you could start a business.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to charge somebody a tenner mm-hmm. and your equipment, your tools to actually deliver that job cost you £2.50,
mm-hmm.
that leaves you £7.50. Now, you might think that goes in your back pocket. Well, actually, it's your time. You've mm-hmm. got to cover your time. And if that was a business, you'd also have to have insurance.
Yep.
You'd have other expenses. So that 750 isn't really 750. And when you're using those real life examples, yep. then those individuals can pick it up. And he picked it up. So there's he went out gardening, okay? Didn't realise he was an entrepreneur. Actually, he is at 14. Wow. You know, mm. to understand that. And it's just just not telling people, but making them understand that what they're doing,
yeah.
it's worth so much. They're doing an amazing job.
It's life skills. Yeah. It's, you know, what did I say the other day to you? I said, I left school, but I've been at the school of life. Some ridiculous thing. It was a throwaway comment. But, you know, I've learned more in the 10 years that I've been out of school. it's been a very hard paper round. You know, I've probably learned more, and I've learned something every day. I made a pact with myself when I left school that I would try and learn something every single day. You know, and I think that taking those kids outside of, you know, because not every kid wants to sit in a classroom or wants to sort of read stuff on a blackboard. That's just not the way that you know, that I would say quite a number of kids aren't wired that way, especially nowadays. If you look at society today, if you look at most kids today, they've been born into a world of technology, and therefore what they do and how they communicate with each other is actually through technology. It infuriates me that especially my eldest, you know, when I say, you know, talk to your mates, he types something out. And you're like, no.
Ring.
Ring. If you ring somebody, you can talk to them. But if you sort of take a step back and look at kids today, you know, it's us that are actually out of place nowadays because we're the ones that didn't grow up with all of that technology. It was new to us. Not new to them.
No.
They grew up, they're growing up with it. You know, my youngest can sort of go around my phone and go around my wife's phone quicker than I can. And that's just infuriating.
Yeah,
and embarrassing. Very embarrassing as well.
No, amazing, amazing. Right, so we've got about a minute before we go to the...
It's where you do your dad dancing.
I do a bit of dancing to the music on the adverts. I can see Mel smiling. Mel, you won't be smiling after you've been seeing me cutting a few shapes. But yes, I think it's about time that we told everybody that's listening who
Absolutely.
Our guest speaker is today. And this is something that I'm really, really passionate about, but excited about as well, to the point where Mel and her newly formed charity, got the charity number through, woohoo, will be the Koi Sports charity of 2022, receive a percentage of every membership fee that comes in. And that's Melanie Tate from the Jordan Sinnott Foundation Trust. Such an emotional story, and one which we're so pleased to be able to give a platform to talk about, because what's happened out of tragedy and adversity is something really quite special. So let's go off to the commercial break, we'll look forward to speaking to Melanie when we come back. So enjoy the break, everybody. Speak to you soon. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with myself, Dave Johnson-Rayner of Koi Sports, and John Woodcock of Voluntary Action Leicester. And it's time to welcome our special guest for today, Melanie Tate from the Jordan Sinnott Foundation Trust. Hi, Melanie. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Nice to be on and speaking to you both.
Really good to meet you and to have you on here and to introduce you to John.
Absolutely. And we will be chatting outside of the radio show as well.
Oh, that's good to hear, John. Thank you.
That's all right.
So the Jordan Sinnott Foundation Trust, perhaps you'd like to set the scene for the people listening, let them know what you're about, and why we've invited you on this show will become apparent. So over to you, Mel. The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. So Jordan Sinnott, let's talk a little bit about Jordan Sinnott. So Jordan Sinnott is the youngest of my two boys. His elder brother is Tom. He's 31. Jordan was 25, and it was heartbreaking. He basically just went out for a night out with his fiance's brother and friend, and tragically was beaten, which resulted in Jordan being placed on a ventilator, and this was on January the 20th, 2020, and obviously died from his injuries that evening. Jordan, I'm just going to explain about what Jordan was, because Jordan was this fun-loving, lovable, went into a room and absolutely lit a room up when he walked in. He was the life and soul of the party. When he saw Jordan, he knew you'd met Jordan. He reminded me a little bit about myself, because we had a little bit of craziness between me and him, Jordan. And Tom's a little bit quieter and more reserved. But Jordan was a footballer. From an early age that Jordan was born, he loved and breathed football. That's all he wanted to do. And he was, I'm so proud to say, an exceptional young man. He was very kind, very generous, and everybody would say he would give you his last penny. Hence why, all throughout of this, we were always going to set up a charity, just so we could make sure that his legacy would always stay alive.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I think that's such a great way to keep, well, for somebody to build a legacy on behalf of somebody else. And with being your son, you know, you're 100% vested in making this succeed, aren't you? And that's very, very obvious when we hear you talk. So, you know, congratulations, because it can't have been easy for you. But, you know, getting that charity number, boom, there's stage one of moving this forward. And so tell us a little bit about the support that you received when you set up this aspiring charity.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, because he obviously knew so many people in not just the football arena, which was, you know, a lot of Jordan's life was about football, but also Jordan had lots and lots of friends. And what happened was when Jordan died, we quickly, you sort of go into, I think the easiest way to say it is you all sort of go to the four corners of the earth, because nobody knows what to do. And we really wanted to think about how we could honour him. And we always knew we were going to set the charity up. But the first thing we did was Kelly, his fiance, and my son, Tom, thought about the shirt campaign, which became the Sin at 25 shirt campaign. And what happened was everybody quickly started to donate the Sin at 25 shirts. And we raised nearly 1,000 shirts, which were all hung in his funeral. And it was just an array of rainbows above us. And it just didn't come from the Premiership, but the Football League. It came from countries abroad. It came from, and more lovely, the children. Came from children's schools, children's football clubs. And we knew that's what Jordan was all about. He wanted to always give something back to somebody. So we knew what we were going to do for the charity. We wanted to work with people, underprivileged, vulnerable children, young adults, to access sport or play and try and get that little bit of, you know, giving something back to the community and just giving somebody back a little bit of Jordan.
Mm. Wow, that's powerful. That what you've just said there made me get all... giving back a little bit of Jordan. Wow. Mm. I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all parents in this room, so, you know, it touches us and it moves us. And, you know, I think it's credit to the community, you know, to kind of rally round and, you know, be able to achieve what you achieve, because, you know, sport makes such a difference, doesn't it? Which is why we're all in this and using sport to deliver, as we say in Core Sports Terms, positive social change, because to have got support, not just from this country, but abroad, shows the power and obviously the reach of sport, and football in particular in this case. And I think that must have given you a warm feeling inside, and dare I say, maybe even helped a little bit in going through what you were going through in the grieving process, to know that so many people were actually affected by what happened to Jordan.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, how you've said that, it's, you can't describe the feeling of losing a child. And I've been asked the question of, I can't imagine it, you know, what it is like, because you literally feel like your heart's being ripped out. Yeah. And the impact that Jordan had on everybody, obviously not just myself and family, but friends in the football world as well. You know, it shocked so many people, you know, because you're talking about violence as well, and that incorporates into it, you know. So you have got to have some sort of positivity out of this, because we won't carry on. And people out there, we are in a challenging world at this minute in time, very challenging. You know, we've got COVID, you know, we've got all sorts of problems going on, you know, in the world. And it is really difficult just to get very depressed and go, you know, down that side. And to me, it's given me this positivity of thinking, right, I know what sort of Jordan is. And I know what he would want. And so does a lot of his family and friends as well. And I can see him smiling every time we give grants to people. You know, we've helped people, you know, get wheelchairs, which is the football-assisted wheelchairs that people are in to play football, which is a recognised sport. You've got anything from children who need a football kit, they can't afford the fees, the subs, you know, and because of COVID now, people can't be indoors. So we've helped people with floodlights. And it's just when you give somebody that little bit of reassurance that you can help them, or honestly, the joy that it comes to us and the trustees is just, it just makes me cry.
Yeah.
Because they're so, so thankful for any bit of funding that we can give them.
Mm. Well, you're making such a difference as well, aren't you? So the investing and reinvesting of that money that you hold And let's give a, because this is how we met really, let's give a real life example with Dean West of Mini Warriors in Leicester, who runs military style boot camps for children. And I keep trying to dodge these because you keep saying, come and get involved. And no, I'm all right, thanks. It's not really for me. But he runs his classes in the evening. And as the nights draw in, he needed floodlights to be able to carry on delivering what he did for the community. And spoke with you, went through the process. Now he has spotlights to be able to deliver what he delivers for his local community way into the late afternoon and evening. So that's the difference you're making. And I think that, and Jordan is making that, is huge for that local community. And if we can drive more money through Koi Sports into that pot of cash for you to then to decide where that's going to go, then we can carry on making a difference through collaboration. I mean, John, love collaboration. We don't have competitors, we have collaborators. I think that's really good. And I think with regards to the criteria around being able to access funding, that's just down to you and the trustees, isn't it, to assess each and every case, every person that contacts you looking for funding.
Yeah, so if you go onto our website, which is the js25.co.uk, and you can access his charity through Insta, Twitter, Facebook. You know, if you can just put his name in Jordan Sinnott, you know, an array of things come up about him. So you can have a look that way. The grant process is relatively easy. We just ask a number of questions on there. It tells you the criteria up there. So you're looking into vulnerable, underprivileged children, young adults, and just tell us your story. Tell us why we can help you with the funding and the grant, you know, how it's going to assist you, what's going to happen if you don't get the funding from us. And it's relatively simple. We've made it really easy for people to go on there and look at that. Also, we'll contact you back. I personally phone people back and speak to them. So we do like that personal touch as well. And if we can't help, we will look into other ways that we can help you. You know, not always can we give the full amount of the money, but we're very happy to help people with GoFund pages and put that through our socials and through networking as well. So we'll try and help as many people as we can.
Amazing. What do you think, John? I mean, you deal with funding for charities, don't you?
Yeah.
And Val offer a funding service.
Yeah.
There's that thing about, do you need to be very, very formal with it, or like Mel, she just wants to hear the story?
Personally, I like the personal touch. It's like, you know, what Mel was saying there, which is, you know, is that you'll get a phone call. And that goes a very, very long way. Whether they get the funding or whether they don't, they'll still get a phone call. I think the difficulty with funding coming out of COVID, because there was lots and lots of funds available to keep the lights on with most charities and community groups, et cetera, it's even harder now because they want to know, you know, not necessarily your inside leg measurement, but they want to know where this project's going to go, what it's going to mean, how it's going to be paid out, you know, to the nth degree. And it is very, very difficult for lots and lots of community groups and charities and non-profits, because there are so many of them that don't necessarily understand that they, in essence, they're running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they woke up once upon a time with a real cause and a real passion, but with no real plan to go forward. There are a number that do get it, and they are business planning and they are projecting forward. And that's not just through the work that I do or what Val does. You know, they've got people around them. It's that collaboration again. And it is that support that lots of charities and nonprofits need, especially nowadays when you consider coming out of lockdowns and COVID. They are never more needed than they are today. And there is less money available and there's less funding opportunities available for them. But society needs them more and more. You look at sort of what you do and what we do with community groups for me, the sports that you know, in local communities is what keeps those local communities together, and ticking along, whether it's football or chess or whatever, or cricket or whatever it may well be. Those local communities are absolutely paramount today, more so today than they've ever been.
Yeah. Well, we've just got to be careful how we spend the money, because when you think about it, it's not our money. You know, we've got people who are donating this money to us. So we are really careful, and we do a lot of stringent checks just to make sure that the money is going to the right people.
Brilliant. Really, really good. I can't wait for part two. How fast did that go?
It was literally that.
These shows are where I lose an hour and I have no idea where it went. But we're going to go to a commercial break now and be joined again by Melanie when we come back. So enjoy the commercials. Welcome back, everybody, to part three of this fortnightly grassroots sport and business show with myself, Dave Johnson-Rayner, John Woodcock, and our special guest for today, Melanie Tate from the Jordan Sinnott Foundation. Melanie, 2022 is almost upon us, and I would imagine you're kicking into action and getting into gear, ready to go with a few events maybe in 2022. Would you be good enough to tell us a little bit about what you've got planned?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes you wonder where the year's going, don't you? We're straight into another one, but we've got some amazing things planned. Around Jordan's death, which is, he died on January the 25th, we always, you know, we're going to do a candlelight walk. So that's going to be a really sort of special time. And in February for his birthday, because he was born on the 14th of February, which didn't surprise me because that was what Jordan was about. He was always full of love. So, you know, we celebrate that. And what we do is ask people to have a drink with us. So his favourite drink was Guinness. So we call it the Gin for Sin. And it, you don't have to have a drink of Guinness. You can have a cup of tea if you want to do, or a cup of coffee, whatever you want. I know I'm not going to be having that. I'm going to have a glass of wine.
John's shaking his head. All right.
So, yeah, and then I am looking to do a charity wing walk and then want to come back down to the ground, hopefully, jump back in the back of the plane and do a parachute jump. So I am looking to do that to raise some money. I think there'll be a few people out there who would like to see me jumping out of the plane. We will go into names there. And then we've got Kelly, who's Jordan's fiance. She's doing the Leeds Half Marathon. So that's going to be special. Kelly had Maisie last September, so she's 14 months old now, and that's Jordan's daughter, who sadly he never got to see because she was 4 weeks pregnant when he died. But she is absolutely the double of him. She smiles like him, she acts like him, and she is a little monkey like him as well. So lots of traits there from Maisie, which is lovely to see. And then in June, we have got the Jordan Sinnott Foundation Trust annual ball, which is on June the 11th, and that's in Leeds, the Queen's Hotel. So basically watch this space, because there's going to be some amazing people who are going to be turning up to that as well. So that's going to take us right into the year. And we've got people as well who are jumping on board and are always collecting for us and doing sponsorships. So, you know, it's absolutely amazing what people do, and I can't thank him enough.
So a busy year ahead then.
Yeah, definitely a busy year. Yeah. So if there's anybody out there who can give me any clues on what to do, you know, because we're very much learning with this, you know, with the charity. We've only been sort of up and running a year, and I can't believe how much we know, but I can't believe how much I need to know.
Yeah. It's one of those minefield areas.
It's the same. The thing is, and I've said this today a number of times, small charities and small businesses are very, 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 very similar. The only difference is some of the legal bits and bobs. But otherwise, they're very much the same. And what I did before I was working at Val was that I had my own business and I provided business development and marketing strategy and project management and recruitment for small to medium sized businesses. And I've just taken that into the world of charities. They're very, very similar. As long as you've got the planning and as long as you've got the enthusiasm, you know, and you're not shy.
I don't think I'm that.
Then just talk to people because they'll either say yes or they'll say no. And what I've found is that if they do say no, 9 times out of 10, they'll go, no, I can't, but I know somebody that can. And you're like, okay, well, that'll do. Can you make an introduction then, please? But then that goes back to everything that me and Dave talk about, have spoken about so often on the radio, is that it's all about collaboration. You know, you don't know everything. I know I don't. You know, I will always be the stupid one in a room. Always. Not just because that's what I am. It's literally, you know, I'll go, because I don't know enough. I want to know. And I'll always be that person that will ask the questions. Why? I'm always like a 3-year-old. But why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why?
Never ask yourself the why question. You can never ask that question.
But you see, so if there is, like you say, if there are people listening that can help you, that can help the foundation, that can help, you know, in any way, then get in touch. Mm. You know, whether it's through the radio show here, whether it's, you know, straight to yourselves directly, it doesn't matter. It's all roads lead to you with regards to this. And I know that, you know, we mentioned it earlier on in the show that, you know, you are Coy's charity of choice for 2022, which is awesome. And by default, obviously, I will be doing as much as I possibly can due to the voluntary work that I do with, you know, with Coy Sports. I just, you know, as much support that can be provided, get on board.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was when we got the call from David. Honestly, I was over the moon, because you sometimes get to a stage where you just do not know where to turn. And, you know, regarding the charity, and you've mentioned there's policies for policies. And we are so lucky that one of the trustees, Claire Duncan, that is something that she does. That's what she loves doing. I've not got a clue around that. But, you know, you've got to be so careful what you do. And I keep saying, because it's not our money. And we're so passionate with the drive behind this charity, the Jordan's charity, that we just want to learn as much as we can. So I can't thank you enough, honestly, for doing this for us, because what we've got out of it is just amazing already.
Pleasure.
Was it the same day or was it the following day? Because you rang me after you'd spoken.
After Mel and I had a conversation, yeah.
And he just went, I've got to tell you.
Proper excited.
Well, that's what I said afterwards as well. You know, we've got 13 trustees, and I was... You know, I get a little bit carried away with myself and I talk 100 mile an hour, you know, and I love a chat, as people know about me. It was just, do you know what? It's amazing, isn't it? Because every time I speak to somebody new, I just think, oh my goodness, they've heard about Jordan again. You know, and I mean, I just love talking about Jordan because he's my, you know, my own. But I'm also incredibly proud of when other people talk about Jordan, because I keep saying it, but when you met Jordan. So even when I talk about him now, people will say it's like I recognize him. It's like I've always known him, you know, because I just feel he's just always here. He's always around us anyway.
That's great. That's isn't that nice to hear?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? People getting behind you and that it evokes that kind of emotion in you. I think that's that speaks a lot for you, Melanie, and you know, all power to you, and we'll be doing everything we can to try and develop your charity, whether it be through advices, financial or non-financial support, and that's what we want to deliver in 2022. And if we don't, we should have failed, and I don't like failing, and I don't fail. So
we're not going to do that. Don't worry about it.
Allowed to do that. What I always like to leave to the end in these grassroots sports shows is because we're heavily into grassroots sport, as are our 90 odd members. Is that the elite do help, and the elite are lovely people, even though they perhaps seem untouchable sometimes. And you know, they give their time and they give their effort to support causes. But it is all about grassroots sport, so we always kind of leave this towards the end. But what kind of support have you had from the footballing world? Because I've seen photos that people won't have seen yet necessarily, because I know they're in the public domain, but we have to be a little bit careful how we say that. But do you want to tell us a little bit about the support you've received from inside the professional game?
Yeah, I mean, we've been so incredibly fortunate to, I did a podcast with Ian Wright, and he's actually our patron for the charity. And he is, what an amazing guy he is. I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's really passionate and he really cares about people as well. And it always comes across when I speak to him. In football, we're very fortunate to have, we've got Matt Crooks from Middlesbrough, who was one of Jordan's best friends, Danny Ward from Huddersfield, and John Stead, who was one of Jordan's good friends as well, who's recently just retired. So we know a vast amount of people. Gareth Southgate gave us a shirt, an England shirt.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy, isn't he? Oh, do you know what? He's absolutely fantastic. But everywhere we ask, or everybody we ask, we just seem to get a door. And I know we're talking about football, because obviously Jordan was in football, but also other sports as well. You know, it doesn't just stop at football. But we're just really fortunate from the football world, because we always have that avenue in to be able to speak to somebody. And we've just recently just done a bucket collection at Huddersfield Town against the Middlesbrough. And within an hour, we had raised £1,753, just sheer generosity from people at the ground. And it was emotional as well, because people obviously knew me, and Jordan used to play at Huddersfield. But, you know, people are just so wonderful. And, you know, they still remember him when he used to play there. So it really is touching. And it was a wonderful day, we had.
Amazing. The best photo, because obviously we've been putting some material together to promote the fact that you're our charity of 2022. And I think my favourite photo of Jordan is where he's dressed in orange, in an orange kit, and he's obviously just scored. And that kind of like raw passion on his face, you know, it got him, you know, like he does when your team scores a goal. It got him. And, you know, when you look at the other photos, the smiles and what have you, he seems like he was a genuinely nice guy who loved football and loved life. So, you know, well, you're doing a great job in keeping his memory alive. I'm in awe of you. So anything we can do to help, that's fine.
Absolutely.
And just to repeat that website, it's www.js2525.co.uk. Fabulous.
It is, yeah.
I think that's amazing. So you talked a little bit about your granddaughter, his daughter, and her being a lot like him. I would imagine that as she grows up, she'll be playing a part in what you're hoping to achieve. And I think it's great that, you know, there are so many people around you who support you, because I've been fortunate enough to meet two or three of your close family friends who support you in the charity. Do you want to give them a shout out?
Oh, yeah. We've got Sonia, who's my sister. She's the trustee, and Tracy came as well. And she's doing some business and marketing side for us. So we've got a lot of experienced people around me, you know, who really know what they're talking about. I think that's what you need as well. And we've all got the drive, you know, and the passion for it to succeed as well. And we're just open to anything, what any offers from anybody who can help us, or any, you know, if the any, we just need to know basically as much as we need to know about charities. So
I think if you're open to learning and you're open to developing who you are and what you do and why you do what you do,
yes,
that's it's an open door.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, because that ultimately is that you'll engage in conversation, you'll have good chats, it'll be positive, it'll be progressive. I can't, you know, what you've done in such a short space of time is breathtaking. It really, really, truly is. And the fact that you are in a position where you are providing grants out already in that shorter space of time is just phenomenal. And I think that how you're going about it and what you're doing and what you've got, what you've just highlighted for, you know, the first 6 months of 2022 would make most businesses of big size, but most charities, head spin. You know, it's like, you've done what? You've got what planned already? How much? What? It's brilliant. It really, really is. And I think that if you do get that opportunity to do the wing walk and the parachuting, I'm coming to watch that.
Yeah. I'm not joining in. I'm going to come and watch that.
Well, you might want to join me.
Yeah, well, you say that.
There's two wings, you know.
I'll be too busy drinking Guinness at that point. No? Apparently you're not allowed to do wing walks and drink Guinness at the same time. It's not good.
Not good.
Wouldn't be pretty either.
We might need to add that one in, actually.
Melanie, listen, thank you so, so much for sparing your time. I can't wait to work with you some more in 2022. And, you know, hats off to you. I wish you all the best. And thank you for introducing us to the world of Jordan Sinnott, but also your family unit and what you're trying to
thank
achieve. So thank you so much, Melanie, and I will speak to you soon.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to next year as well with you guys. So thank you. Can't thank you enough.
It's no problem. It's no problem at all, is what we're here for. So here comes another show to an end, Mr. Woodcock.
I know. And the first one together.
Yeah, yeah. Quite emotional sitting next to you.
I'm welling up.
Whether it's wind or I'm feeling a bit poorly. It's going to be one of the two. But listen, thank you very much indeed, everybody, for joining us. Thank you once again to Melanie for taking the time to chat to us. And we look forward to seeing you again in a couple of weeks. All the best.
Oh, take care, guys. See you later.
Yep. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Don't go anywhere.